there. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. Yes, Debbie is back.
I'm back.
After she's back. After being gone on Friday. Debbie, I had to handle the show without you. It was really different.
We listened from the airport. I thought it sounded great.
You and Marty,
yeah. You weren't talking to yourself. You had all the Take Two family all around you. It was great.
Well, it was enjoyable, but it's great to have you back today.
Thank you.
And, dear listeners, we have really an important topic today, and there is there is a phenomenon in our culture today and really around the world. Divorce is not anything new. We read about it in the Bible, but in recent decades, there has come to be what is known as no-fault divorce, and we're going to be hearing about that. We have a guest who's going to join us on the program, and we invite you to start calling right now if you have questions, comments, concerns about this, 1-800-585-9396. If you're concerned about the ease of obtaining a divorce in today's culture, maybe you are someone whose spouse left you, divorced you in spite of your wishes to keep the marriage intact. That's really one of the things we're going to focus on with our guest today. 1-800-585-9396.
And we're also going to talk about how it affects the children. I mean, this is very important. This is a very important topic because a divorce in and of itself is a tragic thing. And then to have it affect the children and to be part of their lives and also, extended families. It affects everyone. I've lived through it. So it is definitely something that, there's a lot of casualties. And so we're going to talk about that and how important it is that when we enter into the sacrament of marriage, that proper formation is there. So we really know what we're entering into because that's, in my opinion, that could be half of the problem right there, that some really don't realize what they're entering into. It's a serious, serious, lifelong, eternal commitment. Well, there's no marriage in heaven, but you know what I mean. It'll get you to heaven. 1-800-585-9396. That's the number to dial to be on the show. And we're excited today, Jerry, because we actually have a guest with us, which is kind of fun.
We do. Bay McFarland is joining us. She is the founder and she runs Mary's Advocates, Upholding True Marriage. And we're going to be talking, like I said, about this whole idea of no-fault divorce. So again, if you've got a take you would like to share, maybe you have some thoughts on how we can keep marriages together as Catholics, members of the Catholic community, 800-585-9396. Bay, it is great to have you with us on Take Two. Thanks for making time today.
Hi, Jerry.
Welcome to the program, and tell us, first of all, a little bit about Mary's Advocates. I'm on your website right now. You've got a lot of resources to help people understand this problem. What was your, tell us a little bit about what people will find on your website.
Well, Mary's Advocates is all about upholding marriage in the sense that marriage is designed by God to be a union between two people for life, and there's certain things that people promise when they get married. So we support people who are on the receiving end of a no-fault divorce. So for those who are kind of like having their lives turned upside down and they're in shock, we support people who are in that circumstance. But then we also have some practical resources. One of them is we're trying to have separations of spouses managed more in accordance with what people promised going in. So if you look on the website, you'll find resources, and we have a true marriage proclamation set, which we can talk more about, and then it's how do you defend your marriage when you're up against this situation. And some of the ideologies that are causing the problem are the secular world totally changing what they think marriage even is.
So, Bay, you heard what I said about proper preparation. I mean, really properly forming two people with who have free will, you know, they have that choice to enter into the sacrament of marriage. I mean, would you agree that we need to really make sure that people get a full understanding of what it means for this lifelong commitment?
Yes, we definitely do. And I think a real easy way to do that is to just point out the difference between how Catholics or Christians understand marriage and how marriage has been deteriorated in the opposite culture. Like if you tell the parties or ask the parties, do you really expect to be married permanently? Do you expect to be with your children unless one of you for the rest of your lives you're going to be raising your children together? And are you expecting to be with each other when you have serious problems? I mean, we promise in the marriage rights, right? You know, good times and in bad. If you were to have those kind of conversations with people and really push the questions, there may be some number that are, if they're being honest, are going to say, you know, I don't really want to be married to you when you, you know, you get heavy or you get Alzheimer's or I'm more attracted to somebody else. It's like, let's just be more blatant about what is real marriage compared to what's this counterfeit that's out there in the culture. Don't be so afraid to talk about it.
I just have to say real quickly, Jerry, you remember when I brought this up when I was one of the couples that I was helping to kind of spiritually guide in the church when the pastor asked me if I would talk to them and when they were preparing for marriage. Bay, exactly what you just said is exactly what happened in my office. Young man who was walk down the aisle to this young woman, she was sitting there in tears because I was asking those exact frank questions that you just said. And he was being very honest. And he basically said, if it doesn't feel and it doesn't look like the way I thought it was going to feel and look like, I'm out of here. And I mean, he was honest and she was just bawling in tears. And I looked at her. I said, do you hear what he's saying? He is telling you who he is. So before you enter into this sacrament, you really need to understand that this is what he's saying going into it. So something is clearly wrong, but I agree with you wholeheartedly that if we ask those frank questions or even play out those scenarios with people, I do think some people will be brutally honest.
And that's a way to deal with it in the marriage preparation phase. Mm-hmm. Another way to deal with it is years down the road when somebody is having that situation where they're just tired. They're just tired. They're just not happy. And this is where a no-fault divorce kicks in. Because prior to no-fault divorce, the civil government recognized essentially what Catholics understand as marriage. It's permanent. You've got obligations. Two parents promised each other that we're going to work together, supporting each other and raising children in one family. And what happened with no-fault divorce is, well, it's especially unilateral no-fault divorce. That's my real pet peeve. In unilateral no-fault divorce, one person says, I'm tired, I can't talk to you. It doesn't even matter what the reason is. One person wants a divorce. And then in the no-fault divorce civil system, the people who manage how property and children and money get split, they have an understanding of marriage, which is no-fault marriage. So no distinction is made between the stay-at-home mom and the adultering husband who ran away. Or no distinction is made between the faithful dad and the mom who's just been influenced by her selfish tendencies and she's decided to quit. I mean, and that's just not justice. I use the example of a car lease. If you leased your car and the car dealer could go to the sheriff and have the car removed from your driveway half the time and still expect you to pay the lease, everyone would know that's insane. But that's what's happening with no-fault divorce. I mean, maybe there's people who want to go in and say, you know what, if it just doesn't work out, I understand going in, we're going to split the property 50-50, and somebody will get the kids. But if you didn't sign up for that, that's what Mary's Advocates is about. It's for the people who don't want that going in. What can we do to strengthen those marriages?
Yeah. Bay McFarland is with us here. We have, pretty full phone lines. We're going to get to your calls in just a couple minutes here, talking about no-fault divorce and keeping marriages together and what can one spouse do who has been abandoned, perhaps unjustly by another spouse and still wants to honor that sacrament of matrimony that they entered into. 1-800-585-9396. Before we go to the break, Bay, talk a little bit about how Mary's Advocate supports those who have been unjustly abandoned but still want to be, like I said a minute ago, faithful to marriage even after, say, separation and divorce. How does Mary's Advocates help them?
We have two concrete resources. One is a support network, and we use the book, The Gift of Self. So it's just meeting and connecting with other people who are on the same mindset of, I agreed to be married for life. I'm going to be faithful. This hurts like nothing you've ever imagined. So there's human beings out here who are living that walk, who've had us say, hey, how can you stay faithful to a spouse that doesn't love you anymore? And we say, that's irrelevant. We're married, and we're going to do what we promised to do. So we have a support network. But the other thing we have, for those people who entered a Catholic marriage, we have a template petition. It's a written document that anyone can use to formally ask the church to intervene. you know, in Matthew 18, and it talks about how we're supposed to treat each other when they offend us, like you go to them first by yourself, and if they don't listen to you, then you bring witnesses and you bring the church.
Right.
Canon law actually describes a process where the church has the authority to try to get people to reconcile, and the church has the authority to make a determination about what kind of separation plan is in accord with divine law. I describe it as these canons that have been asleep and collecting dust on the shelves. I think implementing the canon law can really help, so we have that as a practical resource on our website, too, for defending marriage, implementing, asking the bishop, the church, to intervene.
What's the best way, Bay, that folks can reach your reach you and actually reach the resources? What's the best way?
Mary's Advocate's website, go to the resources tab and just read through the menu items to see what's there. There's also the About Us page that has our contact information. My phone number's on there. And the resources also include the support network. People can look to see what the different options there are. There's a monthly phone call. There's an email discussion group. There's
nice.
There's two areas that I know where you have human beings that meet in person with the help of a priest.
Very nice. And you're a nonprofit, 501c3, right?
Yeah, we are. And
wow. So you rely on the generous donations of people, right?
It has been an adventure for the last 20 months. I've been doing this full time, just building a website and reaching out to people. And it's only based on donations that I can keep getting this message out. And the sad thing is, I don't know that there's anyone else getting out this message. There's lots of talk about, oh, when the marriages fail and, you know, moving on and be single again and how do you do that. But we look at it from the other side. I'm married. We're married. How do you survive? How do you get along when you're married but you're separated and divorced? And how can you get more justice in the process?
Wow. Wow, that's a fascinating. I'm sorry you had to go through. I mean, you went through it, your life experience yourself. So this is what maybe prompted you to start this ministry. The thing about it is, though, I mean, you're the best to speak about it because you can really help others. And so this is an important topic we're having today on Take Two. We're so glad you joined us. We do have full phone lines, but when a line becomes free, please jump in at 1-800-585-9396. Bay McFarland is our guest today. We'll be right back.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device, and it's all at your fingertips. Visit EWTN.com/podcast and enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. You know, of all the commandments, it might seem that we would get this one right. After all, it commands us to rest one day. But so often we're off to our own pursuits. God asks us to take one day to stop, reflect, rejoice, spend time with Him and with our family. But so often we're running everywhere else. It's also a day for worship. The book of Leviticus says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest and a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. And the book of Hebrews says that we should not neglect to meet together, as is a habit of some. And so again, we're asked by God to spend time reflecting and worshiping, and likewise spend time with our family. The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
We know you like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
Hello, this is Father John Paul Mary.
This is Debbie Giorgiani, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
My friends, this is Bishop Kevin Vann of the Diocese of Orange. I pray that you all have a blessed Lenten season from all of us at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Good to have you with us as we kick off another week of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. On EWTN Radio, our guest is Bay McFarland. She is the founder and head of Mary's Advocates, just put a .org. and you will find it, marysadvocates.org. And we're going to go to your phone calls for Bay right now on this topic of no-fault divorce. Mark called first, so he goes first, listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado Springs. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can I go right into it?
You certainly can.
Thank you. Dr. Rick Fitzgibbons is a psychologist who's really addressed this issue quite a bit. I think he's in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay, good. You know who he is. He put something together, maybe, I don't know how many books or whatever, but I got a quote that I think is fantastic. It says, children whose parents divorce for low-conflict reasons are more harmed by divorce than those whose parents had a high-conflict divorce. And the children of the low-conflict divorce are more likely to lose hope in the institution of marriage. So what's going on, I think most divorces, and my divorce in particular, I think was very low-conflict, was unnecessary. We were both vibrant members of our parish, and it was so unnecessary. We could have, if we had some good coaching, we wouldn't have divorced, as far as I'm concerned. But that's kind of my question is, do priests and clergy and the lay leaders in our church understand how many divorces are actually low conflict and how harmful they are to the children, where they can lose hope in the actual institution of marriage, the very foundation of our society?
Yeah, Bay, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Mark raises a good point. I mean, I don't know what priests are taught in seminary, but the people that contact me and Mary's Advocates, one of our sources of disappointment is how our spouse, who has decided to leave the marriage, seems to think that they're doing nothing wrong. And I get emails from people sometimes that say, you know, my husband claims that he's talked to three different priests and they all say what he's doing is okay, and, you know, the communion of life and love is dead, or we don't have the good of the spouse is good enough, or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, I can't know what really happens in no-fault divorce is not justice. What it is one person says, I want a divorce. And then the other person is faced with, gee, you can be coerced into agreeing to a divorce where, hey, maybe you'll lose only 60% of the property or 40% of the property, or you'll keep your kids 10% of the time, or you'll keep your kids 70% of the time. But nobody is going to the person who's choosing to break the marriage apart and adamantly encouraging them, hey, look at your marriage promises. Look at your marriage promises. And I totally agree with Mark that with the right coaching, people could get their act together. I just published a book review on a book that came out of the John Paul II Institute called Torn Asunder, Children, The Myth of the Good Divorce and the Recovery of Origin. And one of the things they talked about in there is that the psychologists and the marriage therapists themselves will talk to a couple, and rather than assuming marriage is indissoluble, they're making a subjective judgment about whether this marriage or that marriage is worth salvaging. It reminds me a lot, Jerry and Debbie, of what they do in Planned Parenthood with babies. Oh. It's like the idea of keeping the marriage together has just been thrown in the garbage. The idea that you have to keep that baby is just thrown in the garbage.
Well, Bay, let me ask you this question, and Mark, maybe weigh in on this, and Jerry as well, because I'll throw myself out there first, because I don't know, Bay, if you know a little bit about my story, but I went through a pretty horrific divorce and subsequent post-divorce, and it's been very traumatic to me, my children, my extended family, everybody. But anyway, putting that aside for a minute, let's talk about going back to when one party wants out of the marriage. At the time when it happened to me, I had several, and I mean several, priests involved, actively involved in trying to save my marriage, because I was very involved in the church. And I mean, they were sitting at my home. They were in the hospital room. They were in, I mean, I can tell you priests were everywhere. And yet it didn't do anything to, if you call it, wake up or make my former husband of 20 years realize that what he was doing was really breaking a lifelong commitment that he entered into willingly in the sacrament of marriage. So my question is, what do you do at what point do you say this is just not going to work, because this person has free will? You can't force them to do something they don't want to do.
Exactly. Sometimes we all recognize that someone has free will and they can choose whether or not to work towards reconciling. The issue with no-fault divorce is that the person who is adamantly refusing to cooperate with those who are experiencing helping couples, that person is controlling. That person is the one that can make the divorce happen. And then with the no-fault system, they don't expect that person to uphold their obligations as much as humanly possible. I mean, if you were to talk to engaged couples who intend real marriage, and if you were to describe to them, imagine the worst-case scenario, one of you just goes off the deep end morally and wants to abandon the marriage, what do you think would be a fair way of holding that person responsible as much as possible? No one's going to say, oh, gee, the abandoning husband should pay, you know, 10% of his income. It's like, wait a minute, that abandoning husband's income was 100% required to support that household. You know, why shouldn't he have to continue to support as much as humanly possible? And this is where Married Advocates is getting into stuff that has huge ramifications, but somebody's got to do something. And if we were to look at marriage like we look at any other contract, and if we were to look at marriage as, hey, I as a woman am counting on you, husband, to contribute your share long-term, and if you choose to bail and I'm not doing anything bad enough to justify separation, then if we were following canon law says the church has competence to judge whether or not a separation plan is in accord with divine law and natural justice. I mean, part of one of the things that Mary's Advocates has that I haven't gone into yet is our true marriage proclamation set, where people who marry, they sign this gorgeous document that's got their marriage promises on it, but they also sign this other document where they're saying, we don't want this no-fault divorce copycat marriage. We want a real marriage, and if we have marriage troubles, we want to hold each other accountable to uphold our marriages, our promises, as much as possible. You know, Debbie, I don't know if you feel like in the civil system, the man you married was expected to uphold his obligations as much to you as humanly possible. I mean, the thing that breaks my heart is these children who are scandalized when one parent bails and then the children have to live with or spend overnight visits with, you know, daddy and his new sex partner. That's horrific.
Mm. Well, I can tell you the court system where I live, it truly never even understood. They don't even enter into an understanding of a sacrament of marriage, Christian Catholic marriage. It doesn't even matter. It was horrific. It was horrible all the way around. It was like a zoo.
It's like a zoo, star chambers, and then the coercion that goes on. Because if you say, "Look, there's not even a reason for divorce," or "Look, I need him to support like he always had," then what do? You pay lawyers, hundreds, right. Thousands of dollars. You pay That's lawyers. Right. They take your money.
Right.
I, you know, Mary's Advocates hopes that some leadership, some lawyer somewhere, start little by little fighting back like right. They did for the sisters of the little sisters of the poor. Everyone was on their side when the law was saying they have to pay for contraception. Well, we could do the same thing with marriages. Like, why should an innocent husband have to pay money to an abandoning wife? Why?
Yeah.
Well, Mark, right. Yeah, I want to thank you.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. We're just coming up against an immovable break here. So, Mark, we'll let you go on that. Thank you so much for joining us. And we got a whole bunch of other calls. So, thank you. You all tie for the Patience Award today.
That's right.
Because you're all doing a great job. Thanks for your patience. And we will get to each one of you here with Bay McFarland on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Our phone number, 1-800-585-9396. We didn't mention at the start of the show, you can also text if you have a comment or a question. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. And just to wait, you'll hear a little signal there. Put your first name in there and your comment or your question. And just be aware that it's possible with some phone plans, a little bit of a data rate may apply. So other than that, Debbie, I think I covered all the bases.
Yeah, that was a nice disclaimer about the data rates. I like.
Thank you so much.
Okay, this is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and Bay McFarland is our guest today. We're so happy and feel honored and privileged that she's with us, answering some great questions, having a great conversation, a productive conversation about no-fault divorce and what it means to enter into the sacrament of matrimony. So stay with us on Take Two. We'll be right back.
this is our meditation for Monday of the first week of Lent. Today, we look at one of the great, great commandments of the Bible, reiterated over and over again by our Lord Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. But especially, be good to the poor. Jesus makes very clear that one of the most important parts of God's evaluation of all lives in this world is how we have taken care of the needy, the poor, and others. I was very blessed when I was a little boy because my parents had a sense, a compassion for people in trouble. They always kept some money behind the clock if one of the neighbors came and had a special need. These things happened years ago. And you know that example stayed with me all my life. If you're not familiar with helping other people, do know it is the most joyous and glorious of all the commandments. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a time of fasting and prayer, but it's also a time of almsgiving, of making a sacrifice, of doing something for others, and do it directly. The man who puts gas in your car may hardly speak English. Give him a tip. You see a hungry person on the sidewalk, disheveled and poorly dressed. Take him in, buy him a cup of coffee and a donut or McDonald's or something. Yes, do something. And you'll be drawn in. Love the poor, and your life will be filled with sunlight.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Thanks so much for being with us. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. Right back to your calls for Bay McFarland on marriage and no-fault divorce and keeping marriages together and supporting spouses who have been perhaps unjustly abandoned, as is not infrequently the case. We're going to go to Brian next, listening to EWTN Radio on the Station of the Cross in Boston. Hi, Brian. You are on Take Two with Bay McFarland.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. It's a very enlightening show. I think it's very important. I've been actually hearing a lot on EWTN. I'm hearing from the early morning show almost every day, Catholic Connection and More to Life, and there are a lot of good resources out there, including the book or two that the Pop Chicks wrote. But I'm also hearing that an important thing is if you have a good marriage, make it a great marriage. Go to these counseling things. Anyway, you know, tell you the truth, I'm scared. I'm not married yet, but I'd love to be married, and I think I'd want to do it before I get married, go to some of these things, these seminars or retreat centers or what have you. I don't know what their protocol is, but I'll just take your comments off the air, and you guys are doing a great job, and God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Bay, what do you think of Brian's comments there?
That you can always make your marriage better. Absolutely. It also reminds me of something else, not to downplay what Brian said because he's right. Sometimes we overcomplicate marriage. Like, people have this, I call it the Harlequin romance idea of marriage. Like, you have to have this passion and this super deep conversations where you're feeling terribly connected. It's okay if it's not like that. Like, we make marriage, we describe it so high that if you don't achieve this high thing, people are so disappointed they feel like they're not married. Kind of like, you know, we wouldn't say that about baptism. You know, when we have sins, it doesn't mean we weren't baptized.
Right, right. Everything's got to be romantic. I agree with you on that, because I think that sets people up for a failure, because when you expect that from another person and you expect it to be there all the time, and then you hit those low points in marriage, everybody knows it's a roller coaster ride in marriage and family. Everybody knows that. If you don't, I want to meet the one person that says they were always on a high for, you know, 50 years or whatever, because it's not true. And I agree with you, Bay, that We set up these expectations, and then when we hit these points, we don't know how to deal with them sometimes. Or maybe if a person's in a low spiritual point in their life, and or they're getting hit with a real dry spell in their spirituality, they're stuck, and it's real unfortunate. What would you say about that?
Well, the parallel you're making about spirituality, I think, fits to marriage. And, I mean, talk about being in a dry spell. The people that Mary's Advocate supports are those whose spouse have abandoned the marriage. Mm-hmm. So when the question becomes, what do you do about that? And the thing that's so beautiful about Catholicism is we have a way to deal with suffering that is not bad news. You know, the whole concept of offering suffering for atonement, the whole concept of working on sacrificing and having love being your ultimate goal. So the question becomes, how do I love the person who thinks that the solution to his dissatisfaction is to abandon the marriage? It just puts a whole different spin on it than what happens in no-fault divorce, where the lawyers get the two people hating each other and they're just submitting expensive motions back and forth.
Right.
You found EWTN Radio. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie talking with Bay McFarland today about no-fault divorce. Raymond and John, your calls are coming up right after Marie in North Dakota listening to EWTN Radio on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Marie. You're next with Bay. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Good. You guys have a great program, by the way.
Thank you.
Totally enjoy listening to it. And like the previous callers have said, there's been EWTN has just grown so much and given so many things. And I think my question and my take was very similar to what Debbie shared. Like after 20 years, and then the other spouse just totally wants to live the opposite kind of life, you know, not be married and do all the promiscuous lifestyle. But what do you do? What does Mary's advocate do for somebody who'd contact them under the support of asking, what do you do with that person that is controlling, and even after the divorce, which this was a terrible, horrible, messy divorce too, and still wants to continue. Wants nothing to do with me being in his life, but still wants to control. What kind of support do you give for that, or how would you start a person out looking towards more positiveness? Now, I have to say too that I've come a long way with all of mine, and went through divorce. My mom and dad married 50 years. Low times, high times, you know, great times, tough times. And I had a sense of marriage that you work through that, you know. And that's what marriage is. You keep working and continuing. But you know, what does Mary's advocate do for that spouse,
Marie,
or the other one?
Yeah, this is, when you're talking, I'm reminded of one of the themes that's in the book we use, The Gift of Self, and it's the theme that marriage, being ordained by God in a sacrament, has graces. And if one person is choosing to adamantly quit, okay, that person might actually be in a state of serious, grave sin. Abandoning a marriage is a serious sin. And if they were to do that, the graces can still come through the person that is connected to the marriage. So, Mary's Advocates doesn't have an answer to every solution. What we do have is real people like me, who we meet together, and we have a monthly phone call. Some of us have become friends outside of that. We connect with each other. It's listening to what other people are doing and how they get through it. I'm thinking of one lady whose husband left after many years of marriage, and he's totally being very promiscuous. And she prays her wedding. She repeats her wedding promises after communion when she goes to Mass. She prays for him all the time. I mean, all we can do... And I think of people who have experienced injustice throughout history. Like, I kind of grew up in the Brady Bunch era where, you know, everything is supposed to be all wonderful, or the Wrigley Spearmint gum commercials where everything's all happy. And we don't have a sense of real injustice. But the people I look to is like St. Maximilian Kolbe, you know. What did he do when he was experiencing a grave injustice? They were killing his people, and, you know, he was in a starvation bunker. What do you do? Well, you know, Thomas More, he was thrown in prison because he stood for marriage. What did he do? His own wife wanted him to cave and deny the truth so that he could get out of jail. He's like, I can't. It would be like letting my soul go through my fingers and then getting close to Jesus. But, I mean, this is like any injustice. You just got to do the best you can. I don't have a catch-all answer.
So, Bay, you're saying that the Mary's Advocates really is like a support system, if you will, to help those and kind of just affirm those who are feeling that there is a real injustice done, and there's not many support systems out there. So that sounds like that's what it is to me when you talk about these monthly calls. Marie, is that what you were hearing as well?
Yes. So I could get on that support line and be in conjunction with support of listening to other people and having a monthly conversation with someone.
Right, right. And if,
right?
And if yes.
Because in my area, I've been looking for something because there's others in our Catholic Church that have gone through it. And the one that is my ex that's being promiscuous, and the gal that he's with, well, her ex-husband also needs his support. I mean, it's just a terrible cycle. And, yeah, so that would be great support.
On our website, under the Resources Support Network, one of the things is these monthly phone calls. Another one is an email discussion group. And if there's a couple of people in an area, we encourage people to try to network with each other and find a priest so they can meet in person if it fits their schedule. The problem with divorced people is if we have children, we don't have the flexibility to just go out once a month very easily without, there's not two parents in one household.
That's true. Wow, this is turning into a very deep. I think it's hitting a lot of people, Bay. Then, and so your work hits people at different levels. Like for instance, I received an annulment, and I'm married in the sacrament of marriage to Marty. So would your monthly calls be beneficial for me at all?
The monthly calls are for those who follow the path that's described in the book, The Gift of Self, and it's a
okay.
spiritual companion for separated and divorced who are faithful to the sacrament of marriage.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
You know, if somebody thought they had an invalid marriage, it wouldn't make any sense for them to be faithful to a marriage that didn't exist. But the other work of Mary's Advocates about trying to bring justice in no-fault divorce would still be very applicable because...
Okay. Perfect.
The church teaching talks about how separation plans should be in accord with divine law. The canon law about annulments says that the church, the actual sentence, the decision from a church is supposed to include instructions for the parties of their moral and civil obligations towards each other. So if we were implementing the church system from the beginning to end, if you had a husband who never intended sexual fidelity, let's say, the guy was cheating on his girlfriend, he's got sex partners outside marriage all along, after a couple of kids this becomes evident, they got witnesses, it's absolutely provable, clear case for annulment, man never intended sexual permanence. Okay, if that's what's going on, in the civil no-fault divorce system, they don't care. But if we were asking what kind of separation plan is in accord with divine law, what are his moral and civil obligations towards that lady and those children, I would hope that we would get something that's more just for that lady and the children.
Sure. Marie, thanks so much for joining us there, and you will find information about Mary's Advocates and all that Bay has shared with you here at marysadvocates.org, O-R-G, marysadvocates.org. Thank you, Marie, for the call. Don't forget, folks, you can download the EWTN app. Take two with you. That's kind of a tongue twister. Take me and Debbie with you wherever you go, or all of your other favorite EWTN radio shows, TV shows, lots of other great resources, news, Catholic, you know, news from a Catholic perspective. Get that EWTN app on your phone. Just go to EWTN.com, and you will find information about downloading the app. And I mentioned that Raymond would be next, and Raymond, you are next, and you have been holding a very long time, and we're grateful for that, listening to EWTN Radio and on Guadalupe Radio in Garland, Texas. Hi, Raymond. Thanks for your patience.
No problem. You gave me plenty of time to come up with a good story for you. I've got quite a bit to unleash here. I think that the problem really starts from the beginning when people are even dating. The premise really starts there, and it's a meat market out there, and it's all a big bargaining that goes on, and it's a big power play. Who's got the looks? Who's got the money? I knew a nice Catholic girl that I apparently didn't meet her standards in those regards. I finally met a woman that was open, amenable to dating me and eventually getting married to me. After I proposed to her, she noticed how important my faith was. And she then later, it was always a tit-for-tat kind of relationship. She then offered to me RCIA class to consider becoming Catholic, okay? So she eventually, she went through 5 years of RCIA classes, and during her final year of RCIA class, issued me the divorce. It's absurd what's going on in the world. People are basing so much of what they proceed with on their feelings. And because she felt moved on some crazy level, I guess, she felt like she could move on. She could move on after agreeing to so much. And it's just insane what's going out there. So much feelings and so much imagination. She gave me the 3 strikes and you're out. She says, you know what? I got a job. I'm self-sufficient. Strike number one. I got a kid. I don't need you. You're obsolete, number two. And then she says to me, men need women more than women need men, and I don't need your companionship. I'm going shopping. Go have fun. And it was insane. I had to pray on my knees that I wouldn't wring her neck right then and there and make the evening news. Then she gave me the kicker. She says to me, the kind of woman that you're looking for, Ray, is that checkout girl at Walmart. Okay? And I kid
well, Raymond, let me jump in here and just offer Bay an opportunity to maybe share any insights that she might have. It sounds like you've got yet another unfortunate situation like we have talked about here on the program. But, Bay, would you have any words of advice for Raymond?
What you're describing, Raymond, I hear it. And you are so right that it is insane. I mean, I pray to Jesus, okay, Jesus, I've been blessed with people who want to support Mary's Advocates of Holy Marriage. What can we do? Because it's insane. So, Jerry, what advice do you give when someone is experiencing a grave injustice, their heart's being ripped out? You know, I can use an out there. You know, it's just for the men who have their children and their wives leave, in the old days, it is the kind of thing. The injustice is so grave that you want to do something violent to resolve it, which doesn't solve it. All Mary's Advocates can say is, we know what you're talking about, and you're right. It's a grave injustice. On a practical level, I almost feel like some of us whose marriages have been messed up for years, we're like the shrapnel, the triage. It's too late for us, but maybe for other people, we can encourage the institutions that manage people when they're having these separations to do something differently. Like, why did this lady, after 5 years of RCIA, get this idea? Is there someone in there that's spreading misinformation? I don't know.
Raymond?
On feelings. Imagine feelings. You understand? If I can imagine and I can feel what I want to serve myself, I will. I will. And that's the basis of so much of this, because it's all based on the mind, on what they contemplate, and their feelings. And they're not getting any feelings from the sacraments that the church gives. And that's another thing that's important. People are coming away from their sacraments not feeling anything. Their feelings are coming from sex. Their feelings are coming from shopping, from drinking, from all kinds of other things. But they're not coming away from the church with the proper feelings or any feelings.
And well, the position that I have is, if my spouse is doing that, what do I do? I truly cannot respond, control what my spouse does. So what do I do? And if it was my own son who was doing that, you know, say you have a son that gets into crime and he's into drugs and he's doing all this horrible stuff and your son is just all messed up in life, what do? You can't control your adult son. Your heart is ripped out. What do? And that's where we come back and we say, all we can do is pray for them, offer our suffering, be as loving as possible, still stand for marriage in the public arena. If you've got no reason to think your marriage with that woman is invalid, stand for marriage. Say, I'm going to stand for marriage even if it hurts, and I'm going to offer my sufferings. And the secular world won't understand this, but the children are watching. And if the children see one spouse saying, you know what, what's going on here is insane, and I love whoever it is. I mean, for you it would be, I love mommy, and mommy's choosing to do this, and you just wait it out. We might not even see justice in this life. Does that make any sense?
I'm having trouble having anything make sense to me right now. I really am. I really am, because she was admitted into the church. She wore her white dress. She was baptized and confirmed, and everybody surrounded her, praising the moment and her choice to finally do this.
And are you saying they praised her to decide to divorce?
Well, this is another problem, is that people choose their confessions. And to the circle of people that were at church, I don't think she divulged. Okay, that's another can of worms. Because I'm sure that if Father Dave knew exactly what was going on, he'd say, no, I'm not going to baptize you and give you communion. Never. It's disordered. So they choose their confessions and they put on a pretty face. And so much can be glossed over like that. When you seem like a nice person, an intelligent person, a hardworking person, a person that even contributes to the church and goes, but then underneath they're choosing their confessions.
What do you mean by choosing your confessions? I'm confused.
Well, do you think that she would have been baptized and given communion knowing what she was doing?
You mean they choose which priest they talk to and what advice they listen to?
All I'm saying is that I would love to have the light of truth shed completely upon my situation. Bring it on, please, because I don't believe in no fault.
Well, maybe you're a good candidate for using Mary's Advocate's template petition to ask the bishop to intervene. Because if this woman thinks she's a good Catholic, but she's forcing a no-fault divorce on you where you're not found guilty of adultery and you're not doing anything gravely dangerous, I'm sure you have your annoying habits like I do and Jerry does and Debbie does, but that's beside the point.
I just heard my annoying habit, by the way, and I apologize for that, because I have a tendency to raise my voice, especially when I feel the level of indignation that I do, and I apologize for raising my voice. I know that I have that fault. It comes out very readily, as you already
see. That's
well,
not a ground.
And Raymond,
that's not a ground.
I was going to say it's understandable, Raymond. I mean, this is what we're talking about here is not, somebody when you get together with somebody and you say, hey, I'd like, a chicken sandwich for lunch, and they give you pizza. You know, I mean, this is being violated in a very profound, intimate, and metaphysical way. We haven't even really talked about, you know, the one flesh union, and then how, you know, divorce ultimately and essentially does violence to that, and it's going to bring on a lot of emotions and feelings, Raymond. And we're going to pray for you, and I really encourage you, for the sake of time, we've got to get to John here in a second, but please log on, Raymond, to marysadvocates.org and see if there aren't some resources there that can help you, and maybe even participate in those calls that Bay was talking about. But most of all, please be assured of our prayers, and thank you so much for joining us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Yes, Raymond. Our hearts are with you, Raymond. We're going to get to John real quickly, but Leah, we're probably not going to get to you, and you have a question of me and my situation. Leah, you're welcome to email me at take2@ewtn.com, and I'm happy to share with you anything that you can ask. Okay, John in Bowling Green, Kentucky, you're listening. Welcome, John. We've only got a couple minutes. You got to go quick. Hi, John.
Okay. Hi, how are you? I just want to say that I agree with what Raymond was saying, that things probably begin before you actually get married. My wife and I grew up in Chicago, and we're going to be married 32 years this April. We went to what's called an engaged encounter weekend before we did anything else through our church. We were sent to a seminary for the weekend, and they brought in couples who had gone through various life situations, infidelity, alcoholism, drug abuse, bankruptcy, you name it, and they told us how they got through this with their faith. We are then separated, and we're given a notebook, and we write in that notebook how we would handle a similar situation. Then they bring us back, and we trade notebooks. So I could see how my wife would handle it, and she could read how I would handle it. And then you go into it with your eyes open, really. And I think that that is what has helped us have such a strong marriage after 32 years. We have two adult male children, and we have an 18-year-old daughter still at home. And our marriage is as strong as it's ever been. But I think it's because of the church's intervention before we even got married.
What do you think, Bay?
I think what he described, where you have couples that have gone through rough times for different reasons and gotten through on the other side successfully, is so critically important. I mean, for people listening, like people, we need to get this out in the open. We need to start talking about this. We need to have these kinds of discussions, because those couples are critical, because you feel like, oh, if they got through it, I can get through it. And what's happening instead is the person who's disappointed, or the person who's sad, or the person who's sticking their heels in the ground is just petitioning for divorce, and there's not enough intervention at the end. And those stories in the beginning, wow, I'm really glad John called, because I'm just so happy that people are doing that. That's good news for me to hear.
Yeah, John, thank you so much. And we are just up against the end of the program here. Bay, it's been really, I think, as Debbie said earlier, a very enlightening and informative conversation. Really struck a nerve with a lot of our listeners. Thank you all so much for your calls. And Bay, real quickly again, how can people find, well, marysadvocates.org, but people can support your ministry on your website. Is that correct?
Yep, marysadvocates.org has a donate link at the top. So people can use credit cards or PayPal or mail a check. And the resources tab, the resources menu item, is the stuff that we've been talking about today. There's tons of research on there, too. But the resources is the place to go.
Yeah. I have the gift of self in my hands right now. A wonderful spiritual companion for separated and divorced faithful to the sacrament of marriage. Way to go. Bay, you're doing great work. Thank you. Please keep it up. Our prayers are with you. And Take Two Family prays, too. So we're going to be praying around you that your ministry continues. So thank you for that. Dear listeners, you did it again. You made this show spectacular, and it was all because of your takes. Right, Jer?
That's right. Tomorrow, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Fur, feathers, or fins? Tell us about how your pet brings joy to your life. A lot of us have a pet of some kind, and we want to hear from you how it just is companionship for you. Debbie, you've got Gracie. Maybe you can hold her on
Gracie
your lap
on
tomorrow during the show.
That's right. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.